Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week we're going to hear from Dallas Greenway as he taught on United Night about our purpose in life. We'll be looking at Philippians 1 verses 19 through 26 and how we can honor, magnify, and glorify God through our lives. We hope you enjoy this message.
All right, hello once again. I come to the stage not having baby food this time, all right? Some of you are very happy about that. Here's something I would really like to know. Who just thinks Taco Bell is disgusting? I feel like there are many of you in here. We were not aware. We've heard your cry. Who has never been to Taco Bell until tonight, which you still haven't been to a Taco Bell, but you had Taco Bell for the first time tonight? Anybody? A few of you? Wow, that's crazy. There are some very healthy people. I don't know if you can tell, but I've eaten a lot of Taco Bell in my day, okay? That was a hot spot in college and in high school. It was a great spot to go. Yeah. Now you guys know, if you want a dad bod like me, just eat a bunch of Taco Bell, right? Yes. Thank you, Somerville. All right, so some other things I'd like to know. This is throwback, okay? I kind of shared, you know, I like Pop-Tarts. I want you to turn to your neighbor, okay? Your first choice neighbor, and tell them, like, your favorite kid food. And I guess I'm talking, like elementary school. Like, what was your favorite food in elementary school? Tell your neighbor. Wow. All right. How about somebody just shout at me, what was your favorite food? Pop-Tart. What is it? Gushers? Hello, Gushers. Yes. Tomatoes? What are you doing? I said some of you are healthy. Pop-Tarts, Frost? You have to share this with me. All right. Next question. How about your favorite, like, kid show or movie? Turn to your other neighbor, your second choice, okay, and share your favorite kid show or movie. You got one? Nice. All right. How about this one? For this one, I'll have you raise your hand, all right? Favorite kid show or movie, Eben? SpongeBob SquarePants. I don't know where that guy is. I don't know, but he was a blessing. Yeah, Anna? Curious George, a very wholesome, some screams for George in the house. Sam? Veggie Tales. Wow. Christian, yeah, Tomato Boy. The Wiggles? The Wiggles. That was a little after my time. Abby, you got one? McDonald's? The who? Oh, the Backyardigans. Oh my goodness. All right, one more question. By the way, I think mine would be, like, Hook. Has anybody seen the movie Hook? Bangarang, Rufio. Oh, man, if you guys haven't seen Hook, check the rating on it. I don't know what it's rated. Probably, hopefully it's not R. I don't want to do that. All right, how about one last thing? Your favorite toy, like, thing to play with. All right, your favorite toy. Share that with your neighbor. Share it with your neighbor. That poor slinky, Grant. You're a slinky destroyer. All right, once again, I'm gonna take hands on this one, Mitchell. A Rubik's Cube. You still play with that. Micah? Transformers. Yes. Bumblebee. Love it. You already answered, Jack. Legos. Yes. JT? A dump truck? Nice. Nice. Nick? What is it? I don't know what it is. Fortnite? Connects. There it is, right there, man. Will? Tech decks? Yes, sir. Little finger skateboard things. Kaylee? Rock'em Sock'em Robots? Wow, I thought that was way before you guys. Bob Ross? Beyblades? JJ? Imagine X? Here we go. Frank? What? Pokemon cards? Oh my goodness. All right, bring it back in. So for me, I'm gonna have to agree with Frank on this one. It was Pokemon cards, all right? Pokemon cards, I remember the day in elementary school when Pokemon cards got banned from the school. I don't know if you guys had one of those days, but all deals were off. Everything had to be done underground. Like, we literally had to dig tunnels on our playground so that we could trade cards, right? Or go to the back alley. We didn't really do that, but it sounds cool. The other thing, I just really enjoyed Legos. I really enjoyed, like, action figures. Anybody play with action figures? Star Wars action figures, which I'm wearing the shirt right now. Or Power Rangers action figures. All right, bring it back in. So, if I'm being honest with you, there's a lot of things that, like, especially being an adult and that whole, I don't really like the term, but that whole, like, adulting thing, right? Like, some of you guys feel like you're feeling that already as middle and high schoolers in different ways. And there's times when I wish I could go back to just being a kid when the biggest decision was, hey, do I play with Pokemon cards right now and get caught, right? Hey, Wyatt. I see you right there. So sometimes I wish I could go back to being a kid where the biggest decision I had to make that day was like, do I dare pull out my Pokemon cards in class? Or like, which kind of Pop-Tart I'm gonna have that morning, right? Like, those were kind of the big decisions, for me at least, when I was an elementary school kid, right? But when I got into middle and high school, I think some things started to change. And probably for you, even if you're a sixth grader, you're almost at the end of your sixth grade year, and you're feeling that things are starting to change, right? And maybe things are starting to change so much that you've, like me, started asking some much bigger questions. Hey, front row boys, stay with me. You started asking some bigger questions about, not your breakfast food, but maybe just about life, right? And for me, in middle school, that was a time, like, the peak of my family. I've told some of you this before, but the peak of my family's, like, financial struggles. And for the first time in my life, I felt unsafe in my own home, not because of any kind of abuse or anything like that, but because I didn't know if in a couple months I was actually going to have a home to come home to, right? And for me, in middle and high school, that was the first time. Up to that point, I literally had, like, nobody die in my life who was close to me, but for the first time in those years, I had an uncle pass away from liver cancer. I had my grandmother's pass away towards the end of high school and into college. And for the first times in my life, I lost people. And I started asking much bigger questions. And for some of you, you're experiencing for the first time in your life, maybe it's not the loss of a family member, but maybe it's just intense, like, emotional stuff that you're going through, right? For one reason or another. Maybe your workload at school for the first time is, like, way too much to handle, and it's giving you some intense anxiety, or just you get anxious as you look towards the future and think about, like, real adulting full time, right? I don't know what it is for you, but I would imagine that life has picked up its pace, and that even as a middle schooler or a high schooler, you've thought, like, man, I wish I could go back to simpler times. But we can't. Life keeps moving forward. And so when I was in middle school and high school, I was like, well, if life keeps moving forward, I think I need to figure out, like, what's my life all about, right? I started asking questions like, why? I mean, you know, as a middle schooler, asking questions like, why am I even here? Like, what's the whole point? If my parents can't even keep things together financially, like, then where is security found on this earth? If I'm going to eventually die like my uncle and my other family members and close family friends, if I'm going to pass away like they will one day, I want to make sure that my life was actually worth something. So I started to ask the question, maybe you're asking something similar, like, what do I want for my life? It's just going to pop up on the screen for you. What do I want for my life? Like, what do I want out of this whole thing? What's the whole purpose of this? And it was kind of, maybe you've already caught this, a pretty selfish question. I wanted to just make sure that I didn't waste my life. I only get one, right? YOLO. That's retro throwback too. But I wanted to make sure that I didn't waste my life. And so I would think about it. And I would think, well, if my parents have no money, then maybe having some money would actually be worth it, right? But you guys know, if you spend any time like following the media, right, that some of the richest, most famous people, most powerful people in the world sometimes end up on their deathbed by their own decision. They take their life, they commit suicide because money and power and fame, it wasn't it. And then when I looked at my family situation, well, maybe I don't need a ton of money. Most of my family's financial problems were completely out of their control. And so if I can't have control over finances and what does or doesn't happen to me, then maybe that's not the right place to go, right? I was a pretty, like, I wasn't like a popular kid, but maybe you can relate to me. Like, I had a lot of friends at school, and I kind of got around with the different groups of people, and so I would hang out with the kids that played sports, and I could hang out with the gamer kids because I was always into games, and I just kind of moved, like, flowed through groups, right? I had some tight friends, but for a while in my life, I thought, if I could just have like consistent people around me, like good people, just solid friends. Maybe that's just what life is supposed to be about. But then I realized that as soon as you move from middle school to high school, some of your middle school friends, it's like, for whatever reason, you just stop talking, right? It's not really of your own doing. You didn't make that decision, but it's just how things shake out. And again, when you move from high school to college, you'll find that the same thing happens, that people you saw every day, you just don't see them anymore, and it's not the same. And then I also started to look back at my life, and I moved around. My family started in South Carolina. We moved to Florida, where we were there for 6 months. We moved to Alabama. We were there for 3 years. We moved to Atlanta. We were there for 1 year, and then we moved to Greenville, and we've been here for a really long time. But we moved so much, and I couldn't possibly keep up with all the friends that I made in each one of those states. So friendships are sometimes just as fleeting as finances, right? I started to look around and try to figure out, well, what in the world am I supposed to latch myself onto? What am I supposed to build my life on? And thankfully for me, and maybe you're the same, or maybe this is your first time here, I had actually this very church that was with me through all of those years. And so I came every single week, and I would hear truth. And I don't know what it was. I mean, I have to say that it must have been the Holy Spirit that finally, like, flicked a switch in my ears, in my mind, and I finally started listening. And I finally started to see that there is something, there is someone that you can build your life on that is not fleeting, that will never leave or forsake you no matter how many times you move around the country or move around the world. There is someone. His name is Jesus, who, if you build your life on him, the firm foundation, the solid rock, that you will find the most satisfying life that you could ever imagine. And it doesn't mean that you get all of the money in the world. Don't hear me wrong. And it doesn't mean that all the time now you're just going to have a million friends. That's not what I'm saying either. Whatever it is that right now you're currently building your life on, it doesn't mean that he's going to even let you hold on to that thing. But I can promise you, and I'm 28, which means I've been walking with Jesus for 14 years now. I became a Christian in eighth grade at this church. And I've found over those 14 years that God will take you places that you never thought you would go. He'll have you meeting people and talking to people that you never would have imagined that you would be talking to. I mean, the life that he calls us into is an absolute adventure. If you're willing to sometimes step out in faith and take some risk, if you're willing to to build your life on his. So turn with me. We're actually going to see, this isn't just me saying this, right? But it's actually something that's found all throughout the scriptures, and specifically tonight, we're going to look in Philippians chapter 1. We're going to be in verses, kind of the last part of 18 through 26, all right? And in Philippians, Paul is writing to the Philippians, right? He's actually writing from prison. Maybe you didn't realize this, but some of the books in the Bibles are letters, and a few of them, especially written by Paul, he kept finding himself in prison at different times in his life, right? And Philippians is written from prison, and in a lot of ways, he's just giving an update on, hey guys, I'm fine, right? Like, I'm okay. I know I'm in prison. I know I've got these chains. I know, like, I can't really go out and do all these things that you guys get to enjoy right now about life, but I'm okay. It's good. And it was good for him, we're going to find out, because of who he had built his life on, right? So here's Paul in the middle of prison. Woo, catch my Bible, got to one hand that. Here's what he says, yes, I will rejoice. What a weird thing to say, right? But I just said, I mean, he's kind of a weird guy, like he's celebrating in prison. Yes, I will rejoice in the midst of my circumstances. How is he able to do that? Let's see what he says next. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this, being in prison, will turn out for my deliverance. So somehow, someway, Paul knows that in the midst of prison right now, which is not a great place, which the way he was in prison was even worse than what we think about the prison system, right? It was just basically a hole. He has this confidence that through the prayers of the Philippians, I almost said the Philistines, through the prayers of the Philippians and through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, he knows that one way or another he's going to be delivered. Does that mean that he knows that he's going to get out of jail? Actually, it doesn't. We kind of realize this later on in the passage. But Paul knows that one way or another, I'm getting out of here, either by death or somehow while I'm still living. I'm getting out of here. I will be delivered. And he's looking forward to that. He knows it's going to happen. He has faith. How can he possibly have faith in the middle of this situation that it's all going to end and end for the better? Let's see what he says next. Verse 20 says, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed. Paul, you're in one of the most shameful places on earth. Again, it's not a great look to go to prison. It's not. It isn't today, and it wasn't back then. And yet he says, I have hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ, here it is, will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Verse 21 is maybe one of the most famous verses in the Bible. He says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So how is he able to rejoice? Because he knows that through the prayers of his brothers in Christ, his brothers and sisters in Christ, and through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that he will be delivered. How is he able to know that? Because he knows what he's built his life around. What has he built his life around? Honoring Jesus. Honoring Jesus. The word honored, maybe it's actually different in your translations. You could actually translate honored a couple different ways. It could be magnified. Maybe somebody, oh my goodness, what just happened? Got hit in the face with a slap bracelet or something. You could translate the word honored into magnified or glorified is maybe what some of your translations have. Paul, here's what he found. Here's where he found all of life, that it was all wrapped up in Jesus, which gave him purpose, and his purpose was to magnify, glorify, honor Jesus in everything he did, whether he was in prison or out of prison, whether he was preaching the gospel to people or getting bitten by snakes, whether he was shipwrecked and stranded on an island. These are things that actually happened to him, or he was out planting a new church. In everything that he did in life and death, Paul was doing all to glorify, magnify, honor God. So what does that mean for us? I think that means we need to take a page out of Paul's letter, literally, and we've got to build our lives around the same thing. Ask God to build our lives around the same thing, that we would be a people who honor and magnify and glorify God. That's where, no matter what you're doing, no matter who you're with, no matter where God takes you, that's where true, full life will be found. It doesn't matter if you move, you can still in everything you do magnify God. It doesn't matter if you go from one school to another, passing from middle school to high school or high school to college, you can magnify God in everything you do. It doesn't matter which group of friends you're with, you can honor God in everything you do. The one word that's maybe been the most helpful in thinking for me about what does this actually mean is this word magnified. The word magnified. And the way I like to think about it is this is not magnification like, hey, we got to take a little magnifying glass to God, right? We got to make something small, big. But this is more like telescope magnification, where you take a telescope to see something that's far off, even though God is near, but that's already big and already awesome and already majestic, and you show it off for all that it is. You magnify it. God is already awesome. He's already magnificent. He's already huge. He's already, all of the things that we read about him in Scripture, he's already these things, and now he's calling us, just like Paul stepped into himself, to magnify God in everything that he does. What does it look like to actually magnify God? When I was in high school and then into college, some of you may or may not know this, but I worked at Target, okay? Also known as Target. I worked at Target, and during the holidays, we would have seasonal workers. So there are people who would come in for like 2 months, basically working through, you know, like Black Friday and Christmas and everything. And I worked in electronics, right? Because I'm kind of a nerd, and it was really fun. I got to open up cases and get people video games, right? Like, that doesn't even happen anymore. But one Christmas season, I worked with this guy that I did not stop magnifying. All right. This guy, I was 5'2", okay? I think I've grown an inch since then. The doctor gave me 5'3", in the last couple years. Okay, that's a big deal. this guy that I worked with, okay? This guy, and for the life of me, I cannot remember his name, okay? Maybe I'm not supposed to. I don't know. I hope the best for him. I was 5'2" at the time. This guy was 7'2", okay? So let me help you. Think about, just maybe close your eyes and think about this. The Target electronics section, okay? Just picture me back at the cash register and then just go, right? 7'2", huge man, probably 400 pounds, like at least. I mean, just a massive, massive human being. And I was, at the time, right? I was a little bit smaller than I am now. I was like 5'2", probably 170, right? Like, I mean, I've always been kind of stocky, okay? I'm big boned. But this guy, and man, I did not stop talking about him. I mean, I had to stop looking up at him because my neck hurt, right? But literally, I mean, it was kind of like this picture of Kevin Hart and Shaq right here, right? I mean, this was basically me with my friend behind the electronics booth. I was like cheesing probably the whole time. Because I don't know about you, but I had never at that point in my life met somebody who was that tall. And he was like one of the nicest guys, right? He was trying to play professional basketball overseas, and this was kind of like an in-between thing. I hope it worked out for him, but I don't know. But I did not stop talking about this guy. Like, I told my friends immediately, right, when I got off work, you will never believe who I'm working with, right? Have you ever met Shaq? Yeah, that's who's my partner in the electronics booth, okay? I mean, just, I would not stop. You've got to see him. You've got to see how tall he is. He's amazing. He didn't need me to tell people, like, how tall he was, okay? All he had to do was, like, come in there and see. But I could not stop magnifying this guy. I got excited to go to work, right? And I mean, it's not always exciting in the electronics section at Target, okay? But I got genuinely excited. Like, something changed when I met this guy, and I could not stop making much of him kind of everywhere I went, at least for a while. And you do this too, right? You already know what it is to magnify things, because when you get excited about something, whether it's a new show or your favorite football team, like winning the national championship, right? Like, you can't stop talking about it. Maybe it's a new boyfriend, girlfriend relationship, right? And it's always on your mind all the time. And it's already great, right? Like, that person's already awesome. And, you know, we won't use the L word, but you really like them a lot, right? And that's all there. It's all there. But you can't, that was an L word, okay? But you can't stop thinking about them. You can't stop talking about them. You can't stop texting them or looking at pictures of you and them, right? Like I couldn't stop looking at pictures of me and Shaq right there like Kevin Hart. You know what it is to magnify the things that you absolutely love, the things that absolutely matter to you. And oftentimes, maybe you're not willing to admit it, but the things that you magnify the most, they're actually the things that you've built your life around. But you may not realize it. And most of the time, the things that you and I magnify, the things we've built our lives around, they're not the same thing, the same person that Paul built his life around. So let me just ask you the question. What is it that you've built your life on? What is it that you honor, magnify, glorify the most in your life? Maybe let me ask it a different way, because maybe for you, you would say, well, I think it'd probably be God, right? If one of your closest friends could spend like a week with you every second of that week. And not only are they like spending every second with you and they're like seeing all the things that you do, minus the bathroom, okay, please, that's a sacred place. But if they could see every text message, everything you do with your phone, right? And they could read your thoughts. The good and the bad. This is your best friend, right? So no judging, right? It's 2019. What would your friend come away with when I ask them the question, hey, what does that person magnify? What do you think they would say? What is it that you've so built your life around that you can't help but show it off to everybody around you? What drove Paul to magnify God? It was love. It was love. Paul didn't just magnify him because he's like, oh, that's where true life is found. And if I want true life, if I really want to be satisfied, then that's what I'm going to do. That's what he found out later. But the reason that he magnified God over everything else was because he loved him above all else. Paul had a love that, just like we sang earlier tonight, that even when he was in prison, if that song had been written, he could have sang, it is well with my soul. How do you know, and maybe there's a lot more facets to this question, but how do you know that you truly love God above all else? Because I think that that's what he's calling us into. To love him even more than our friends, to love him even more than our family, to love him certainly more than our Xbox, PS4, PC, Switch, enter whatever your favorite console is into there, right? Love him even more than our phones. Love him even more than all the hopes and dreams that we have of our future. He wants us to love him above everything else, just like Paul did. Why did Paul love him so much? Because Paul actually got to meet Jesus. He actually had an encounter with Jesus. Paul understood the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for his sins and for the sins of the world. Paul started to understand the scriptures as he read them and all of who God is, a generous God, a loving God, a forgiving God, a saving God, everything that the scripture says, who God is, Paul started to love him because that was all true. How do you know you really love God above all else? It's when you find yourself in a place like Paul, where everything that you had is stripped from you. Everything that you had built your life on is taken away. Can you still sing like Paul, it is well with my soul? Paul found, and you will too, that when you build your life on the solid rock, when you build your life on God, when your life becomes about honoring and magnifying him, that's when your life will be ultimately full, and that is the only thing in this life that is worth giving your entire life to, is him. Honoring, magnifying, glorifying him. That's actually not where we're stopping for these few verses, right? We're going to read the next little bit, and I'm going to close with some questions for us. Paul keeps going. Remember, he said in verse 21, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." See, Paul literally says, my entire life, for me to live, it's all about him. It's all about making much of him. And to die is gain. Literally, hey, life is all about Jesus. It's all about making much of him. It's all about magnifying him. That's where full life is found. That's where you'll be fully satisfied. And then even in death, which we will all face one day, even death is gain. Why? Because you get to spend it with Jesus, who is Paul's one true love. Verse 22, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Hey, kind of that saying, like if you still have breath, you still have purpose. Like God is still up to something. He still has you here. What does he have you here to do? Go back to that thing, to glorify, magnify, honor him. But not just for yourself, right? Paul says, yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. What's Paul literally saying? He's having this back and forth. Like, hey, well, if I keep living, I'm here to do work. Like, God's got purpose for me. If I die, though, like, it's going to be even better than being alive because I get to actually go and be with my Lord. And then Paul kind of comes out in the end. He's like, well, I guess it's actually better for me to be here on your account. Verse 24, he said it, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. So that, verse 26, in me you may have ample cause to glory. Here's one of our words. In Christ Jesus, because of my coming to you again. So Paul, yes, he's experiencing this full life within himself, the Holy Spirit dwelling within him, magnifying God in everything that he does. We see that in plenty of other places in the scriptures as well. But it was not just for him to be satisfied that he was living this way. But he was actually magnifying, honoring, glorying God to other people as well. That in everything that he did, that he would be pointing people, just like I was pointing people to my shack-like friend, that as Paul went about his days and his life and his mission, that he would be pointing everyone around him back to God. Let me kind of bring your friend up again, or maybe just your friends. When you talk with your friends, when you hang out with your friends, are you glorifying God in those relationships? When you talk about other people with your friends, are you glorifying God in how you talk about others? When you walk through the halls at school and you look at people and you run thoughts through your mind about those people, are your thoughts glorifying to God? I know we're getting deep, but this is the life that he's called us to. See, it's a simple concept. And if I asked most of you, hey, what's life about according to the Bible? You probably would say something like glorifying God. But it's a lifelong journey to understand more and more of what it actually means. So we're going to finish with a couple questions. And here's kind of my hope for tonight in reading this passage. Is one, I want you to know as you leave here that if there's anything worth giving your life to, and in some ways it's kind of like, hey, I mean, look around. Search. I did. Maybe life is all about money, and I'm just dead wrong. I don't think so. I mean, I'm getting it from a book written by the God of the universe. But look around, search, and see. I think that you're always going to come back to, there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more. There's got to be something more. And I'm telling you, it's right here. That our life is meant to be built on him and all about magnifying, glorifying, honoring him. My hope is that you walk out of here knowing that. My second hope is this, that now when you think about everything that you do, and again, this is the part that's a lifelong journey, a lifelong process, lifelong growing. When you think about when you're with your friends, when you think about when you're alone by yourself, when you think about spending time on video games or cars or fashion or whatever it is, sports, whatever it is that you do and you spend your time on, that you would now look at it through a new lens, a new filter, asking, God, how can I magnify you right now as I'm doing this? And I think some of you may find that maybe God says, hey, actually spending that much time a week on this thing is actually not glorifying to me. Actually, when you speak this way to your friends or to your parents or your siblings, that's actually not glorifying me. When you judge people the way you judge people, that's not love that I've called you to. See, Jesus, when he's asked about what's the greatest commandments, he boils it down to love God and love your neighbor. And I think that this is very much what Paul is talking about in this passage, that you would love God with everything that you have above everything else in this world, that you would love his people by magnifying him to everyone around you. So a couple questions as we close. First one is, what does God want for the life he has given me? At the beginning, I said that my question when I started my search was pretty selfish. It was all about me. What do I want for my life? I think maybe a better question that we should ask as Christians is, what does God want for the life he has given me? What does God want? Not what do I want. What does he want for the life that's a gift to me? And the second question, do you love God above everything else in your life? That's a hard one. Both of these are pretty hard. But do you love God? If everything were to be stripped away from you, would you be able to sing that song knowing that it truly is well with your soul? Because God hasn't left you. Because he's right there all along, and everything that we know to be true about him continues to be true whether you have much or you have little. And then the last question, how does God want you to magnify him in all of life? In everything you do, that you would wear these new goggles, this new lens of what does it look like to magnify my Savior in everything that I do. Again, it's a simple concept, but it's a lifelong journey. That's why we're here. This is what we do every week. We talk about what does it look like to do just this, to magnify God throughout all of life. So I hope if this is your first time, maybe your 100th and first time, that you'll stick with us. Maybe that from now on you'll lean in further, whether in middle school or high school, and walk this journey with us. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for just being you. God, you are already great. You are already magnificent. You are all of the things that we know to be true about you, and even the things that our minds cannot comprehend just yet. God, thank you for calling us to be your kingdom kids. If there's anyone in here who hasn't yet trusted in you, Father, I pray that tonight that they would listen to you knocking on the door of their heart and that they would open up and let you in. Father, help us to walk this journey, this life together and learn more and more what it looks like to magnify you. Make us people who love you above everything else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.